Patching. The act of fixing a small hole in your software to prevent a major leak in your security. The great Android versus iPhone debate. It's like choosing between a designer outfit and a generic t-shirt. Both serve the same purpose, but just one looks better. And an AI assistant that can hold a conversation and make you feel like you're not alone, even when you're stuck in quarantine. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is presented by A Very Merry MSP Holiday. 25 days of giveaways of amazing gifts for MSPs near and far. Simply register for a chance to win, then, beginning December 1st, each day we will randomly select a winner of that day's gift. To learn more or register to win, visit go.oit.co/Christmas.
Ho, 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 and good morning. Welcome to the December 6th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Orsini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Tell me about how the heck are you doing? I feel like we don't see each other forever, and then we get back, we're having a great time, and then how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I get to come to work, I get to hang out with my friends, I get to learn a few new things about the MSP channel. It's a good day, man.
Nice, nice. Hey, so I got a question for you.
What's up?
Do you notice everything looks good about me? Like I'm postured correctly. I'm not carrying anything. You don't notice anything, do you?
You are glowing, sir. You are beautiful.
You don't notice anything about me? I'm good. You know why? Because I'm sneaking in these little USB adapters. You didn't even notice that. Do you like that? Look at this. I'm carrying stacks of them. I have like stacks in my underwear.
That is amazing. You don't. At what point are you stuffing too much to conceal? Like, is there a line?
It's funny that you say that. So it turns out a Chinese woman snuck 200 Intel Alder Lake CPUs in her belly as a fake pregnancy attempt going through customs because of the chip shortage there. That is marriage material. That is 100% marriage material, but they caught her because she's extremely pregnant, but she's walking like a normal person. So she kind of blew it on the entry there.
So she wasn't waddling and that was the giveaway?
That was the giveaway.
I figured like being pregnant is like the safest way to smuggle something because like what TSA agent wants to be like assume pregnancy, right? Like you're walking into dangerous waters there. Good on them.
Let's talk about the chip shortage is that bad where you're just smuggling chips in a woman's belly. And it's not the first time it was done. It's actually been done several times.
That is amazing.
This is the latest occurrence of it. So chip shortage is real. Supply chain management issue, it's real. And there are some really good women out there. I just want to point that out too.
You know what else is real? Our news, sir.
Oh, let's get into some news.
In our top story, insecurity, Rackspace cloud security breach. Written by Kevin Beaumont on DoublePulsar.com. Rackspace suffered an outage that lasted from December 2nd through December 4th, affecting thousands of small to medium-sized businesses. On December 2nd at 2:49 a.m. Eastern, Rackspace announced it was investigating an issue affecting its hosted exchange environments. It added that users might experience an error accessing their Outlook web app and syncing their email clients. Early morning of the same day, Rackspace updates described the problem as connectivity and login issues. In the late afternoon, the company announced that they were still investigating the outage and its engineering teams were working on a resolution. December 3rd, Rackspace posted that upon further analysis, the issue was a security incident and the company's technicians had powered down and disconnected the exchange environment. By December 5th, the company said it had mobilized 1,000 support staff to help its customers and said that it had restored email services to thousands of customers and continues to do so. The company also advised that the best solution for affected customers is to move to Microsoft 365, To wit, they were offering an Exchange One online plan for those affected by the outage. Tony, you know a little bit about hosted Exchange. we've only talked now. So the thing we didn't put on here, which was also part of Kevin Beaumont's updates, is that they were running an August version of Exchange per the headers. Per Shodan, they showed an August version of Exchange per the long build number, which means they had not patched yet per that for the not proxy shell vulnerability that we were telling every, apparently they don't watch MSP Dispatch, that we were telling everybody go and patch. And I believe the last time we talked about not proxy shell, we said get off hosted Exchange, go to Microsoft 365, which is exactly what Rackspace is saying. I mean, does this not sound a little too late?
I know we've never heard it before. Quick recap for everyone. I invented multi-tenant hosted Exchange back in 2003, yada, yada, yada. We had, you know, I think we had 12 employees. We had 46,000 customers in 32 countries. This is, I think, 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. I know Exchange. I know it very, very well, or at least knew it. You pass any technology by for 6 months, you don't do anything, you turn around, and you're like, whoa, what is this new magic? But the one thing that's consistent, update, update, update. Now, there's a lot of things that I have. I have a personal perspective on hosted Exchange, because in a lot of cases, as horrible as this sounds, you don't need to patch Exchange for years. If the ACLs and the content filtering, the payload and packet inspection on the front end is doing its job, but that is a lot of work and you have to architect it perfectly. And once it's done, it's very low maintenance because it does exactly what it's supposed to do. An internal hack is the only way you're going to be affected. But Rackspace is not a small player. They are a big player. And notice the first thing that they did was, hey, go to Office 365. Hosting it themselves is such a burden. It is so time consuming. And those customers have been there 2003, some of those customers have been there since that point. Migrating them is brutal and it has to be done independently for each customer. This is a major, major security risk. If you're on hosted Exchange, unless you have everything really tightened down on the front end, get off hosted Exchange, move to an Office 365 environment. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Sorry, I could go on and on and on about the rant, but yes, I'm massively passionate about this particular technology.
So I'm all for the evolution of the MSP. I'm all for, hey, we did it. We were an MSP. There were plenty of products and services we used to sell that we stopped selling, up to and including MSP services at one point, when we went into IT VoIP and other businesses. But this to me sounds a little disingenuous because it's not like Rackspace is getting rid of their hosted Exchange. They exhibited incompetence, in my opinion, or at least willful ignorance. They did not patch per what we see. They're continuing to offer hosted Exchange. They do offer, they do sell, they're a CSP, they do offer Microsoft 365 licenses. They're going to continue offering standalone email outside of Microsoft 365. So it's not I have yet to see, hey, I'm sorry, we screwed up. Now, it's early days for an RCA, of course, but they're selling products that compete against its own best practice. The takeaway for MSPs here being that when you offer something less than what you truly believe in, are you culpable when it doesn't sufficiently protect the audience you're protecting? And I kind of see that here. So MSP audience, that's our time for the story. Let us know in the comments if we're off base, if we're, you know, this is Rackspace's fault. I saw a few comments on Geek. This is absolutely on Microsoft, but the patches were available. And this is, in my opinion, this is on Rackspace. But what I want to see going forward is thinner, lighter, faster, not from Apple, but from another competitor.
Yes, jumping straight into this from CNBC.com and a story by Ryan Brown. OnePlus co-founder Carl Pei, his new startup, wants to launch a smartphone in the US and it's going to compete directly against Apple. The UK-based consumer tech company, Nothing, is the name, is setting its sights on the U.S. with ambitions taking on the Apple iPhone. In July, Nothing, the company name, launched Phone One, as in the number one, a mid-range device with a design, price, and specs similar to the Apple entry-level iPhone SE. The company, which is backed by iPod creator Tony Fadell and Alphabet's VC arm GV, has only launched its smartphone in Europe, the Middle East, and Asia so far, not the US or Canada. The company expects its revenues to jump more than tenfold in 2022 from about $20 million US to $250 million in 2023, according to the figures shared with the CNBC exclusively. It also has more than doubled its employees to more than 400. However, the firm is still losing money. The company name has sold over 1 million products a day globally, with its ear one, that's ear number one, and ear stick earbuds selling 600,000 units, and the phone one reaching 500,000 shipments. And Samsung in Europe is the largest smartphone maker with 35% market share, followed by China's Xiaomi at 23% and Apple's 21%. Ray, I have so many questions for you. We have another player that's coming in the market. That player is taking on the iPhone. I'm kind of a fanboy, but I'm not a fanboy, but I'm totally a fanboy. If they're going to be taking on Apple, they better be backed heavily. They happen to be backed by Google's venture arm. So did you see how I snuck that into the article? Because that was a piece that I read in there. I said, so Alphabet's VC arm is backing this to go head-to-head against Apple. What are your thoughts on it?
So I should get rid of this iPhone SE that I was going to give my kid for Christmas.
How do you do it? How do you do it? Like, literally, I'm just talking. Oh, yeah, I got one of those. Here you go. Here you go. Here, I got one right over here.
I'm not even an iPhone guy. I just happen to have an iPhone here.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't even like a Volkswagen. Here, do you want this Volkswagen? I got a Volkswagen right now.
The constant running joke between Tony and myself. Anything he mentions, I just pull out like a magician.
He pulled out a 3D printer. Like, literally, he goes, oh, yeah, I got one. He leans back and he grabs it. And it's, these are not small. Like, this is a two-handed lift for me. And he just kind of pulls it out and sets it down. And that is one of the many things. Anyway, okay, iPhone.
So back to the story, right? So I used to have a OnePlus when they first came out in the U.S. And it's a Chinese company, obviously. Xiaomi is well known. They make a ton of electronics in China and Asia. But I had their OnePlus. I had their OnePlus One, I think, and their OnePlus Two, which were actually really good quality phones. They were in the $500-ish range, so mid, not premium tier, not a Samsung S22 Ultra Plus, left, right, select, start. But pound for dollar spent, it was absolutely fantastic value, and they were great devices. What ended up happening is I liked the pen ecosystem of the Samsung, so I had Notes and moved on in that world. But I was really happy with my OnePlus devices. They had their One UI, which, it's not the worst. I mean, Samsung puts their own garbage on top. But they were quality hardware with good camera specs, good processors, good amount of memory. It was not the cheapest of the cheap, right? Like, I got this SE. I know this is the cheapest iPhone I can possibly get, but it's going to my 9-year-old. So it is what it is. And he's getting an iPhone because they're easier to manage for a kid than Android is. But I will say I'm honestly looking forward to this. It has Google backing, or I'm sorry, ABC Venture backing. They have experience in the Android arena. They understand quality hardware. They're not going for plastic here. They're going for low-end Apple competitor. I'm down for that. I'm down. Tony, are you going to get excited about the Nothing releases like you do with Apple?
Mix the Nothing. You're killing me with the name. You're confusing me. I get confused easily. I guess the real question is this a benefit to the community overall? I mean, is this going to be for the betterment of everyone? They are talking in this article. It's a great article. I strongly recommend everyone read it. It talks about the fears, the concerns of Apple taking over that mobile industry very soon. And this is a player that's going to jump in. And if it's backed by Alphabet, that may be the mechanism needed for Google UI to come in and be a real player as well. So, but we should probably talk about this later, Tom. I would love to hear everyone else's ideas on another player in the industry. I believe, from what I understand, there's something big happening, but you got to explain it to me.
In our third top story of technology, ChatGPT able to create automation scripts. ChatGPT is a conversational chatbot developed by OpenAI. It was launched for public beta testing on December 1st. It's trained to follow instructions in a prompt and provide detailed responses. Users can input their queries and chatbot will reply to them. Many may think this is no different from other AI chatbots, but according to its creators, ChatGPT can answer follow-up questions, admit mistakes, challenge incorrect premises, and reject inappropriate requests. OpenAI says that ChatGPT was trained by using reinforcement learning from human feedback, RLHF, to make it more fine-tuned and conversational. Human AI trainers provided responses to the conversations in which they played both sides, the user and the AI assistant. Despite speculations that it can replace Google search and even humans, ChatGPT has its limitations. OpenAI admits that the chatbot is sensitive to how input is phrased. If the query is phrased differently to the style it knows, it may not know the answer. In addition, the answers are sometimes nonsensical, often wordy, and it frequently overuses certain phrases. Now, Tony, you know, my opening teasers are usually a little more pop culture themed. Sometimes they have a little rap lyric they're referencing. Sometimes, usually they're a lot more dynamic, but this time I used ChatGPT to create the opening teasers. I went and the exact questions I wrote were, give me a quip about cloud security and then give me a quip about patching. And it came back with what I opened up in the beginning, which was patching is the act of fixing a small hole in your software to prevent a major leak in your security. Pretty to the point. It gave me the Android debate one and it gave me the AI assistant one. And I thought that was kind of cool. What this Redditor poster found is that they wrote, write me an automation for, I forgot what they, to download something from Azure AD, get me name and phone number. And it did exactly that in PowerShell.
I'm sorry. Please remit the question in better style.
I'm going to show you how this works exactly. Simon, you can take that off and I'll put up here. And it's basically this. Just go in and say, write me a limerick about Tony Francisco. And sure enough, it starts writing. It's the, Tony, you broke it. Now, I will say this has been going on and off throughout the day. As this has gained popularity on socials and everywhere else, it has gone up and down. It says, there once was a man named Tony Francisco whose limericks were quite mellifluous. We're going to have to Google that one. He'd jot them down quick with a quill and a stick, and they'd always come out super auspicious.
What the heck? Yes. Listen. Okay. So I said this is something huge, and here's the reason why I opened it up with that. This is the crossing the chasm between the human phrase, as opposed to, you know, computer language, to computer language to pull the results to wherever that may be and spitting them back out in human language. And this is crossing that chasm in an over the counter fashion. This is fascinating. If you can go say right now, hey, give me a query code for X and it does that. I mean, that's why you're a subscription member to the Experts Exchange. That's why you're finding people to answer questions about everything on a technology level or finding a recipe for something. This can now do just by simply asking. It's like Google was initially and it blew our minds. But more. I'm fascinated. Give me your thoughts.
I mean, this doesn't surprise me that it's beholden to the style of questions that you ask it. I mean, Google itself, if there's anything that IT people are most adept at, is being able to whittle down the query to its most necessary parts and put that in a search engine in a way you're going to get the results you need back. I mean, I have shirts from my MSP days where it says, I'm a Google ninja. You know what I mean? It's not, that's basically what IT people do. Now that it can write, you know, there's linters, there's IntelliSense, there's code snippets. So I don't see that if this can save time for you, much like GitHub's Copilot will write some code for you, I think all for the better. And if that code can be more secure, have less flaws, and we don't need to worry about patching as often, I'm in.
But I'm gonna throw this out though. What happens when it gives you an answer that's wrong? Where's the liability?
I mean, we'll ask Elon. He'll tweet about it, I guess. It's the same question if the car, you know, hits somebody, you know, a self-driving car. But let's hear from the audience. We want to know. Hit us up in the chat below or in the comments. But for now, Tony, let's do some notable mentions.
Jumping into my first notable mention on msptoday.com, as crypto scams skyrocket, PAX 8 is learning MSPs to the risks ahead. In the last few weeks, PAX 8, a global cloud marketplace for MSPs and SMBs and enterprises, noticed an uptick in compromised Azure and AWS accounts used for crypto mining, urging their MSP partners to pay attention, especially during the holiday season when cyber criminals are more prevalent. PAX 8 sent an email to its 25,000 MSP partners cautioning, "Don't let your guard down and stay alert." PAX 8 recommends several steps for MSPs to take, starting with setting up multi-factor authentication, MFA, on accounts with Microsoft, which makes those accounts more resistant to phishing and channel jacking, and cited an article posted by Microsoft on how to enable MFA. For more information, please read our show notes. And in my next notable mention from Engadget.com, Google is shutting down Duplex on the web. Another Google service will soon join the company's graveyard of apps. The search giant quietly announced this week it's shutting down Duplex on the web. The company notes the service won't work after the end of 2022 as, quote, "We continue to improve the Duplex experience. We're responding to the feedback we've learned from users and developers about how to make it even better." A Google spokesman told the outlet, quote, "By the end of this year, we'll turn down Duplex on the web and fully focus on making AI advancements to the Duplex voice technology that helps people the most every single day."
In my first notable mention, InfoSealer malware market booms as MFA fatigue sets in. Written by Nathan Eddy for darkreading.com. According to the report of Accenture's cyber threat intelligence team surveying the InfoSealer malware landscape this year, malicious actors are finding success in deploying InfoSealer malware by using the stolen credentials and social engineering to carry out breaches and leveraging MFA fatigue attacks. The report emphasized the growing effectiveness of MFA fatigue attacks, which involve repeated attempts to log onto an MFA-enabled account using stolen credentials. Paul Mansfield, a cyber threat intelligence analyst at Accenture, said that there were many, many examples this year of InfoStealer being used to harvest credentials. However, the most concerning finding were the damage can be done at little to no cost to the actor. The malware usually costs actors $200 a month, and in that time, they can steal a high volume of credentials and pick out the most valuable for targeted attacks and then sell the rest in bulk to marketplaces for others to do the same. In my second notable mention, FTC may approve Microsoft Activision deal. Written by Chris Squillion for VideoGamesChronicle.com. The FTC chair may be willing to approve Microsoft's proposed acquisition of Activision's Blizzard to avoid a messy vote split. According to a new report by the New York Post, FTC insiders claim that two of the four-person panel investigating the proposed deal may side with Microsoft, and this might not be ideal for Lina Khan, FTC chair. Insiders claim the chair was looking to either block the deal or take it to court. Since this would damage Khan's attempt to block the deal or take it to court, it also claimed that she may agree to a settlement in which Microsoft makes concessions. However, Bloomberg's report last week cited someone familiar with the matter who said that Microsoft is prepared to fight in court should the Federal Trade Commission attempt to block the Activision Blizzard deal.
And jumping into our community events, today, December 6th, an in-person event, Connect IT Local in Atlanta, Georgia. On December 7th at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. On December 8th, an in-person event, Connect IT Executive Roadshow in Miami, Florida. And finally, on December 9th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week long? Did you know we have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news at mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we had AI. We have an iPhone competitor. I have to go throw this away now because you pointed out to me I completely wasted my money on an iPhone. But all in all, I'd say it was a good episode. How do you feel, man?
I'm good, man. I'm figuring out how to smuggle in these USB adapters, the chip shortage, you know. I didn't really – do you think they'd notice if I was pregnant?
Maybe no, listen, really listen. I think that's perfect. I think in your perfectly coiffed hair with your on-fleek eyebrows, I think hiding there, you're fine. They're going to get caught by the blue steel. They're never going to notice the USBs. If I could proffer something, if you're going to hide a USB, maybe do it in a rubber ducky. And then you can, you know, then it's cute and nefarious. But until next time, everybody, thanks for watching Dispatch. Take care of yourselves and each other.
See y'all.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Patching. Sorry, I'm going to do it without screaming. But according to its creators, ChatGPT can answer follow-up questions, admit mistakes, challenge incorrect premises, and ChatGPT can answer follow-up questions. Sorry, let me do the whole sentence. In addition, the answers are sometimes nonsense. Wow. Let's get into some blah, 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 blah.
You're muted.
Tony is muted. Ha, 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 ha.
You're still muted.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, that was funny. That was a double dolphin right there for you. Okay, here we go. Information a Google spokesperson told the outlet. By the end of this year, we'll turn down Duplex on the web and fully focus on making AI enhanced. A Google spokesman told the outlet. Look, what is happening here? Like, where's my tongue? Like, I don't know where it was happening. Here we go. Ready?
According to the report of Accenture's cyber threat intelligence team surveying the year. I didn't even get to the period. According to the So, how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, hit it three times. And if you want to interrupt me, just say that while I'm talking.